Recording in progress.
Ready, sir. And Eric's the chair, actually, of BOE.
Yeah, I guess I'm up. All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Board of Equalization meeting for December 5th, 2025. We are located on the third floor of the county building and the council chambers. As far as roll call, we have our county attorney, Scott Broadhead. As far as council, we have Councilman Thomas, Councilman Stromberg, Councilman Hoffman, Councilman Hamner, Councilman Wardle. We have our county manager, Andy Welch, and assistant county manager, Brittany Lopez. And Nikki from the clerk's office is taking our notes for us. First item of business is the approval of minutes from our September 19th, 2023 meeting. Any discussions, correction in regards to those minutes? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Hearing a motion, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, hearing a motion from Councilman Thomas, second from Councilman Hamner. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, that passes unanimously. All right, that takes us to our new business, so the approval of the 2023 tax abatements. Allison.
All right, Council, tonight you will be approving the abatements that have been offered to our residents throughout the year. I just wanted to give you some information and some statistics. So this year we have issued 1,743 abatements. The abated value is $259 million, and just over that amount. And the amount of abatement is $2.7 million. These abatements cover all categories. So these are our veteran abatements, our blind abatements, our circuit breakers, and our indigent abatements. As these people come in for these abatements, they're very grateful for these programs that we offer. And we're still finding, especially with our veterans programs, that there's still veterans out there that don't know about this program. And so any opportunity that you have to talk about these programs, do it, because they're definitely out there for people who need it. One thing that we always like to reiterate when people come into our office is that by taking advantage of these programs, you don't diminish somebody else's ability to get these programs. So if you come in and take advantage of the tax support, you don't make it so that somebody else doesn't get that. And so this is a really good program, and we're grateful that we're able to offer it. So any questions?
Questions? And we do need to approve this, right?
We do. Okay. Yes.
All right. So if there are no other questions, I will entertain a motion for approval.
I made a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
All right. Hearing a motion for Councilman Hamner, second from Councilman Hoffman. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those any opposed? That sounds unanimous. All right, that takes us to appeal of one of the abatements.
All right, Council, Mr. Corgan is one of our indigent abatements. The indigent abatement is for anybody who is 65 and younger. They do still have to meet some minimum qualifications, which is usually the income requirement of $38,000 in income. These abatements are completely at your discretion, and the way that these work is my office does gather information, as much information as possible. Usually what we advise these applicants to do is provide as much information as possible, and then these applicants are screened by the manager's office and given a recommendation. Mr. Corgan was denied based on a lack of information, and then he did ask to have his appeal heard by you guys. You guys are the next level or the final level. And so with that, I don't know if there's any other questions. I would defer the questions to the manager's office. We just kind of act as the intermediary in this situation. So thank you.
I don't know if I can specifically think of that case, but is there additional information that he provided?
Go ahead.
Good evening, Council. He did provide a small amount of information. I actually sent it to you. One was a letter from Social Security that was a bit confusing. I didn't actually understand what the letter was saying. It says he was granted benefits and then denied benefits all in the same time. And one of the things that typically people provide with, on his application, he checked that it was for a hardship. Typically, people will fill out the hardship form, and after been given to him two times, he didn't fill out the hardship form. And another thing that people will typically provide is a tax return to have proof of income, and that wasn't provided either. The one that he did provide was a pay stub from where he was working at the time. He did list that he has a spouse on his application, and so that's why the tax return would have been beneficial to understand what the total household income was. Mm-hmm.
So if I can just walk through this, I'm looking at his application. The final item on the application is, are you experiencing an extreme hardship? He marked yes, but does not include anything to show what that hardship is. And looking at his Social Security statement, it is very clear that there's more to this letter than we received. We have one page that just shows one item, but it doesn't give us a detail of anything else. And in fact, on the title benefits, it says there's title benefits, but that's not included and given to us. So what we're left with then, if I understand this correctly, is that he's said that there's an extreme hardship, but we can't prove the extreme hardship because we don't have the evidence of the hardship.
Correct.
Okay, just making sure.
And if I make sure I say this correctly, his original application just was the application, right? And then as he came in asking for more details, he was given the forms to fill out, didn't fill those forms out, but then provided the Social Security and the pay stub, and then asked again for the fill with no additional information.
So what happened was once he had realized that his abatement hadn't been approved, he came in to talk through it. And that's when he provided those two other documents, the pay stub and the Social Security letter. It still wasn't quite enough information for us to make a solid decision. We try to make it a very fair process where we're holding everybody to the same standard. Absolutely. And so I wasn't provided the same information that I was in the other abatements that were.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, based upon the information that has not been provided, I do not believe there's a way for us to declare hardship here. So I vote to uphold county manager's recommendation to deny this one and move forward.
All right, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
I agree with Council Wardle. I'll second that.
Okay. Hearing a motion and a second to deny the appeal, I guess is how we would do that, and stand with the recommendation of the county manager. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Sound unanimous.
Council, just for your information, just because the appeal was denied this year doesn't mean that they won't be able to apply in the coming years, so they can still do that.
All right, that takes us to item C, tax corrections.
All right, Council, you had a pretty heavy packet of tax corrections. It is that time of year. So I just wanted to kind of walk through the process that we've been through starting in July and where we are now. So valuation notices go out in the July timeframe, and citizens are allowed to appeal the value of their property. They're not allowed to appeal the tax amount, but they don't believe that they were fairly assessed. They can appeal the value of their property. The assessor's office has processed over 429 appeals this year. That appeal rate, we have roughly 32,000 parcels in our county, and so that would lead to about a 1.34% appeal rate in our community. The average value adjustment is value, not tax. The average value adjustment is $2,614. And that results in an average reduction in tax dollars, if you were a Tooele City resident, I didn't go outside of Tooele City, of $27.93. So one thing I want to quantify with this data is that our assessors take their jobs very seriously. So they're willing to look at every property regardless of the value of the amount. So they don't come in and say, look, you're only going to get $27 off your property. They'll still look at every property that comes in regardless of the magnitude of the assessment. So they really do work with our citizens. And so there are still a few more appeals that will be coming before you. This year there was a significant increase in our commercial properties, and so they're still working through some of that. And so you'll probably see a couple more of those maybe in the January, February timeframe that will need approval on those. With that, do you have any questions about anything? The assessor's office would be here. They're at assessor school. I don't know if they graduate and get diplomas, but that's where they are tonight.
They're kind of like the skill.
Yes. Yes. And just again to reiterate, I always like to do this at least a couple of times a year. The role of my office or the auditor's office is to act as an intermediary between the community and the assessor's office, so that there's a neutral party that the citizens can talk to. They can drop their paper off, and then if the citizens don't like the appeal or the answer that they got from the assessor's office, we can help facilitate an additional appeal between the citizens and the state. So,
any other questions? I've seen I would entertain a motion to, I guess, accept the tax corrections as presented.
So moved.
A motion?
Second.
Hearing a motion from Councilman Thomas, second from Councilman Hoffman. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, if any? Sounds unanimous. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.
All right, and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Any motion, all those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Nice.
A little water.
How are you guys holding your points?
So we're done till 5:30?